Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The Planet Football Podcast is brought to you by FanDuel, the leader in one-week fantasy football with more winners and more payouts than any other site. Enter promo code FOOTBALL, that's F-U-T-B-O-L, at FanDuel.com for a bonus match of up to $200. We're also sponsored by the SeatGeek app, the easiest way to find a great deal, pay for your ticket, and get to your seat. Download the SeatGeek app and enter our code FOOTBALL, again, F-U-T-B-O-L, for $20 off your first tickets. Welcome to SI's Planet Football Podcast, where each week we discuss the latest in the world of soccer. I am SI.com soccer editor Avi Krediter, joined today by SI.com's Brian Strauss, and we're also joined by a special guest, LA Galaxy defender AJ De La Garza. AJ, thank you for joining us today.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. We're going to get into a bunch of things today, mostly MLS. The LA Galaxy plays NYCFC this weekend. A lot of star power expected to be on the field for that one. A little later on, we've got a segment from an interview that we had with Kyle Martino, former Galaxy player, now NBC EPL analyst, and we had him talking about the Premier League, so definitely stick around for that. But AJ, I want to start with you, and Brian, welcome you in as well. We both actually have individual connections to you from covering you back in the day. So hopefully this doesn't freak you out too much. I was actually at Maryland as a radio broadcaster for the men's soccer team that you played on. So thanks for winning a championship, I guess.
Did I get you a couple or just one?
You gave me one, but I was still in the area for the second, so you know.
Okay.
And Brian, what you go even further back.
Yeah, I spent my first 5 years of my career at the Washington Post, and a big part of that was long phone calls with Sasho Sarosky, listening to him talk about why he'd never won an NCAA title and what was it going to take to win one, and would people consider his program a great program if he ever, you know, if he never won one. And I told him it would come, and you know, if he was knocking on the door every year, it would eventually go through. And then I left the Post, and then I think 2 years later, you guys won it.
Well, so from winning titles with that team, AJ, obviously you've been able to do the same with the Galaxy. You guys are gunning for another. I guess you're hitting that form now. This kind of is what happens with the Galaxy, right? You kind of lay in the weeds a little bit, add some firepower in the summer, and then boom, you take off. And does it feel like you're kind of hitting that stride right about now?
We still have a lot to prove and a lot to work on both sides of the ball. And, you know, obviously we got Gerard in and Ricketts is back and Dos Santos, you know, just starting with us 2 weeks ago. So we're still trying to integrate those players. And, you know, I think when we can, you know, fully get them into a groove and get everyone on the same page, you know, I think we're going to be, you know, a pretty good team. Right now we're squeaking by and letting up goals on one end and scoring plenty on the other. So, you know, once we finally get into a real group and get to know you, I think it's going to be even better.
For squeaking by and for working people in, you're still getting results, though. I mean, I think it's seven out of the last nine you guys have won. First place in the Western Conference. Is there that much more room for improvement? Because if there is, I think the rest of the league should be a little worried.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of room for improvement for me on the defensive side. You know, we've given up goals the last five games, and they've been goals that have been scored on us first. and they were trying to fight back in games. And if we can jump out on the team early, you know, maybe we open them up a little bit more. And obviously we've scored 4 or 5 goals quite a few times this year. And, you know, we have to start games better as a defensive unit.
Hey, AJ, I think you're a good person to ask about this. I may be wrong. Are you and Omar the longest tenured players on the Galaxy now? Maybe Todd as well, but I don't think anyone on the team's been there longer than you, right?
No, yeah, it's Omar and I, and Todd came a week later.
So, okay, so you have a sense of what this team's about then, and kind of looking ahead at this NYCFC game, like Avi said, there's a lot of star power on this field, and we've seen some teams get this right and some teams get this wrong, and the Galaxy obviously have a reputation as a team that spends its money wisely, even when it's spending a ton of it. And I'm curious what you've seen about this club and this organization that's helped to develop that reputation. Why, when this team spends big, is it able to spend it on the right guys? And what about this club helps these players integrate so quickly and successfully? So everybody sort of blends in, and somehow you have a David Beckham and a Robbie Keane working with guys, you know, who obviously aren't the big names and don't have the big salaries, but somehow it all fits. Why does the Galaxy have this rare reputation of being able to blend these big name and big money foreign players in with a group of American guys?
Yeah, you know, people say we buy championships every year, and if it was that easy, it would just be handed to us and this and that. And there's other teams who, you know, have bought, you know, big name players and spent a lot of money, and it didn't pan out for them. And, you know, for whatever reason, you know, Bruce Arena, maybe, he knows how to handle, you know, all the egos on our team, and he knows where to put people and how to get the job done. And, you know, these guys have come over, you know, from Beckham to Stevie and Dos Santos and, Kino, and everyone has come in and done their part and help this team and an organization in the league, I think, as a whole.
Is it about doing the scouting and the due diligence and making sure it's the right guy before he even lands in L.A.? Or is there some kind of, I mean, you guys, like a flat-out cult, is there some kind of, like, indoctrination that happens when a guy gets to StubHub Center and it's sort of taught the Galaxy way? I mean, what happens so everything kind of looks so seamless from the outside?
Yeah, I just think guys know their role, and if they don't, Bruce will have a talk with them pretty shortly after that. So
have you ever had one of those talks with Bruce? You must have, right? At least once.
Me?
Yeah.
No, I've never had him. I never had any problems with Bruce.
Yeah. Okay. Good for you, man.
You know, we one of the best organizations in this league, and I don't think anyone's gonna come here and lollygag around, and you know, we're all here to win championships, so you know, if we can all be on the same page, I think we are a good team.
You said something about people say you guys buy titles. I mean, do you think that in a way what you guys have accomplished has been, I don't know, underappreciated or underrated because they just see the big names and the big salaries and they say, okay, well, that must be it, and they don't really take into account all the other stuff that goes into it?
Yeah, I think that's, like I said, it's not that easy. You know, you got these guys coming over from leagues halfway through the year, and you have to integrate them within a team. To do that so quickly is, you know, pretty hard. It takes years to really get to know someone, and, you know, these guys come over in weeks and are supposed to be on the same page as us, and sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But for us, I think majority of the time it has worked out when we've, you know, brought over a DP.
It's not just the DPs either, you know, the younger guys as well. Obviously, Giassi's art is coming through. And playing as well as he has, and even a guy like Sebastian Legetta, I feel like has been an underappreciated perhaps part of this run over the last, you know, couple months or so.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, guys just know their roles, and somehow we find the ones that do their jobs well, and you know, we put it all together.
Have you now that you've seen a few of these guys come in, have you noticed something about them? I mean, is there something about, is there a common thread that runs through Beckham and Keane and Dos Santos and Gerrard and maybe even Landon? I mean, these guys who are at the top of their profession, who are known globally, who are so accomplished. I mean, is there something about guys at that level with that pedigree that has struck you that's noticeable or a bit different?
I think they just demand a lot from, you know, themselves and the team, and especially Keane. He's a leader on and off the field, and you know, he'll get on you on the field if you you know, do something wrong, and he'll get on you off the field if you're wearing the wrong shirt to breakfast. You know, just that mentality that he has, and all these guys, they obviously have a different pedigree, and you know, they've played at the biggest clubs in the world, and you know, are here making a difference for us.
What does your breakfast shirt look like?
You know, I had a couple of shirts that no one else has had, so he's always told me that I got to stay fine, but you know, I always get the better stuff somehow.
That's really hardcore. So, I mean, are you looking forward to this game on Sunday? I mean, does this feel like it's a, of course you're looking forward to it, but does it feel like it's a notable game somehow in MLS history with the names and the, you know, the histories that's going to be on the field for both teams? Does it seem like this is a big deal?
Yeah, another New York City, LA, you know, game, and with all the star power on the field, it's going to be one for the ages, but it's going to be a noon game, which I don't know who scheduled that, but it's going to be hard. The summer's been hot here in LA, but you know, we're looking forward to it, and it's the first time playing New York City, so it's exciting.
Got to maximize that TV audience, get those dollars, you know.
Yeah.
if it's hot, just make sure you know Lampard and Pirlo have to run a lot, right?
Yeah, that's what we'll have to do.
one of the other changes that the Galaxy made, and you alluded to it before, was bringing Donovan Ricketts back. I would think that for a defense, changing a goalkeeper midseason would be not catastrophic, but it's a big change. You know, your whole communication, your whole organization. Ricketts at least has familiarity, I guess. If you're going to make that change, is this the most ideal way to make it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you look at the last two games, it was myself, Omar, Leo, who have all played with Ricketts for, you know, a number of years, and then Robbie, who knows Ricketts throughout the league, and you know, he fits in well. He's a guy that, you know, we believe in the back, and a guy who's physically demanding, and it was intimidating, and I don't think we've had that for a while.
Want to change gears a little bit and talk about your international career. You appeared twice for the U.S. men's national team and then chose to represent Guam. And I'm wondering, as a dual national with those options, I guess, what's the thought process there, and ultimately what led you to make that choice?
Oh, for me, you know, I think I went to January camps 4 years in a row, and you know, I would play center back as a Galaxy player, and then, you know, once I got to the international stage in those January camps, I was put at an outside back, and you know, it's just a totally different experience and a different level, and I just didn't see myself fitting in into a regular player and someone who can make a difference, you know, every day and every game. And you know, obviously Guam is not, you know, high ranked as the U.S. or even close, but from that standpoint, I felt like I could make a difference for a team in a country that, you know, used to lose games 10-0, whatever it may be, and now we're winning World Cup qualifiers against, you know, countries 20 times the size of ours. And for me, it was, you know, not about the now only, but the future and what can we do now to help those kids who live in Guam, you know, look up to us and want to play for Guam national team when they get older.
I know you qualify through your father, but I guess we're not quite clear how that works. So what is your connection to Guam, and I guess you still have some kind of family there, right? So you still have sort of a living connection to the country.
Yeah, my grandma lives there, you know, still, and I got aunts and cousins and extended family. I've been there twice now, and you know, every time they have a little barbecue for me, and there's, you know, at least 50 family members there. So
wow,
probably half the island is my family.
And are you? And this question is going to make your skin crawl. But are you the most accomplished player in Guam? I mean, are you? Is Keane coming to the Galaxy the equivalent of AJ De La Garza going to Guam?
Well, for one, he's way more popular than me. But
on a relative scale,
I think on a soccer standpoint, I've been through a lot, and I've, you know, accomplished quite a bit, and I want to do a lot more on the international level, but, you know, winning MLS Cups and NCAA championships, I'm not sure. You know, there's other guys on our team that have done that, but there's, you know, players who have played in MLS, and Ryan Guy and Brandon McDonald and Jason Cunliffe and Doug Herrick just was a pool keeper last year with the Sounders. So we have some quality, and you know, as you saw, we won, you know, two World Cup qualifiers against Turkmenistan and India, which is huge for our country.
Yeah, I mean, I looked this up. Guam, estimated population, I mean, obviously there's more to it than population, but the figures are staggering. Guam has 162,000 people. India's got 1.25 billion. And yeah, you guys beat them. I mean, it must have been, I mean, can you just talk about that day and that match and how you guys pulled that off?
Oh, well, leading up to that, you know, it was the first World Cup qualifier games at home. It was the first game they ever sold a ticket to. And there's a lot of history made even before we stepped on the field, and, you know, against Turkmenistan to win, and you know, it was huge. And then to play India at home as well, and, you know, another, you know, sellout crowd of, what, 4,000 people there is big for our country. And you could see the excitement around the stadium. And when we had open training, when you win, people show up. And that's kind of what's happening. And, you know, I think we tried to sell our two games against Iran and Oman just because, you know, we didn't know what to expect. And now that we won our first two games, I think we got those games back, and now we're going to be hosting at home again. So it's just going to get bigger and bigger, hopefully.
How would you describe the level of play? I mean, what's it like at that level of Asian international soccer?
Well, you're playing, you know, against them. You know, we play Iran later in September, or early September, and then we go home and play Oman, and we've played India and Turkmenistan, and it's, you know, different level than CONCACAF. I don't know how I can really compare it.
Well, do the referees give last second penalties?
Oh my gosh, referees are probably worse than CONCACAF.
Oh really?
I mean, we played in Laos before, and in Cambodia, and we played in Laos, and you know, there was the referee was from Laos, so you know, a lot of tempers flared that game.
Are you in a position, because of what you've accomplished in your career, are you in a position to offer feedback? Are there people in the football association's administrative level who are willing to listen to you, who care what you have to say? I mean, you must have things that in your head that might be able to help. I mean, do you feel like you can speak your mind and sort of give them some advice or some feedback?
Yeah, I think I can, and they'll listen. And, you know, if guys need something, we'll, like massages, you know, we request it, and they'll get it done for us. And you know, there's bigger things that we can talk about, you know, down the road. But right now we're just trying to focus on winning these games and getting to the next round. And, you know, if we can do that, that's, you know, history in itself. And you know, I think we can keep getting better, because these two games that we just played were the first two games that this team's, you know, ever trained together and been together. And I showed up 2 days before the game and didn't really have much practice time with everyone. And, but yeah, obviously there's things we can change. And I'm coming from a club like the LA Galaxy, you know, who pretty much have everything. And, to go to a country of Guam who, you know, is still, you know, trying to learn, you know, the ins and outs of the game and just how everything's run, you know, is going to take time, and we'll have time for that down the road, I'm sure.
Well, I imagine playing before 100,000 people in Tehran will be something you'll never forget. So
yeah, it's great. I mean, they're I'm not sure we're playing at their home stadium, but you know, if we are, I think it seats 90,000, which is, you know, half of our population. So, you know, I hope it's a good turnout.
Yeah, that would be absolutely outrageous. One last thing I just wanted to touch on with you. I know it's a year of a tough anniversary coming up. The story of your son Luca was heartbreaking. It was inspirational all at the same time. I can't believe it's been a year since all of that happened. But I know you have a blood drive coming up as part of the foundation that you're working with and to raise awareness for what happened. I leave the ball in your court here, but just if you want to talk about what's coming up.
Yeah, well, Luca's first birthday is coming up, and you know, we just want to honor him and benefit those kids at Children's Hospital Los Angeles who need our help still, and we're going to continue to do that until you know, we can't anymore, and that's going to be help for the rest of our lives, and some we'll always remember. You know, if we can help others, you know, we're having a blood drive on his birthday, August 28th, and in Manhattan Beach, and hopefully people can go to CHLA and type in Yoga Loft and sign up.
All right, well, definitely do that if you're in that area. Again, thank you for being, you know, so selfless with that, and for trying to raise awareness, and thank you for your time today. Really appreciate that, and good luck on Sunday against NYCFC.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Here on Planet Football, we know which one is the real football. But in case the other football is your thing, you've probably heard of our new sponsor, FanDuel. It's one of the most talked about new fantasy sites in the world. Here's what it's all about. FanDuel is the leader in one-week fantasy football, with more winners and more payouts than any other site. They will pay out over $75 million a week this football season. Look, we all love fantasy football, but a lot of fans miss out because the whole season is just too much of a time commitment. FanDuel does away with that. You can draft a team anytime and drop into tournaments for weekly cash prizes. Entry fees start at just $1, and there's a league for everyone. Week 1 NFL games are already live in the FanDuel lobby, so you don't have to wait another day to start building your teams. Over 1 million players have won money playing fantasy sports on FanDuel, and now it's your turn. So go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use the code FOOTBALL, F-U-T-B-O-L, and sign up now. There's a special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. The offer is only good for the first 50 people that use our code FOOTBALL, F-U-T-B-O-L, today, so don't get left out. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. Try it out today. So thanks again to AJ De La Garza for joining us. Brian, I'm curious on your thoughts on the Galaxy. He kind of made it seem like they're not even hitting the stride yet. They're doing okay for not hitting the stride. I personally think that they're the hands-down favorite to win MLS Cup again. Bruce Arena has come out and said that that's garbage. What side of the fence are you on here?
The thing about winning MLS Cup is that all you've got to do is kind of be the best team for about 4 weeks, right?
True.
And now that MLS has sort of dumbed down the playoffs even further with away goals, it becomes, I don't know, a bit more random. You know, but somehow the Galaxy have managed to, you know, three times in the past 4 years overcome what's supposed to be a crapshoot and win the thing. So, you know, whatever formula they figured out for you know, negotiating these playoff rounds that offer no home field advantage, that tend to be random in the Eastern Conference, you know, you have to respect that. And until someone else figures it out, you've got to consider them the favorite. I mean, they Gerard and Dos Santos don't have to gel now. They have to gel in November. And who's going to bet against Bruce Arena? As AJ said, I mean, Arena's got the Midas touch with this stuff. And who's going to bet against him figuring out who fits where and who plays best with who by November, you know, and right now, the only challenge, the only real challenge I see to them maybe is Kansas City, because in Benny Failhaber, they have a playmaker at the top of his game. You know, a guy who can, you know, do things with the ball and connect with teammates, really unlike anyone else in MLS. And they're still a hard team to play against. They still have that sort of that Peter Vermes grit. And so in a two-game series, 90 minutes on either field with the home field advantage that Sporting has in Kansas City, it wouldn't stun me. It wouldn't leave me completely speechless if Kansas City beat L.A. in a playoff series. But also, obviously, on paper, the Seattle Sounders are a threat. We're going to have to see how a couple of their new signings sort of blend in. Obviously, when Oba and Dempsey were healthy, they looked unbeatable. They've had a real rough couple months. That may mean an extra playoff game for them, which could affect their rhythm and the scheduling. But, you know, on paper, still a threat, but not based on any form we've seen recently.
Yeah, for sure. Vancouver, on the wrong side of that comeback by Sporting Kansas City last weekend, has also been playing extraordinarily well. There are challengers. I don't think anyone is going to say there aren't, but yeah, on
Vancouver,
paper.
Vancouver, Dallas. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Portland as well. And then you look in the East, I just think there's a massive divide. But even so, DC United, we haven't seen Montreal with Didier Drogba yet. If he becomes Super Drogba, then all of a sudden the Impact are you know, right in the thick of things. And all it takes in the East is just get through the East and beat one team in the West. It's not like
right.
You have to go through the whole
minutes.
Gauntlet.
I mean, Columbus Crew. Columbus has some talent, you know, and that's a team that over 90 minutes when things are clicking can look good. You know, DC United, if Espíndola is healthy, you know, that's a team that's dangerous, again, over 90 minutes. So, yeah, absolutely challenges. And picking the winner of the MLS Cup is a fool's errand. And that's how the league wants it. That's why they've designed a playoff system that is supposed to be a crapshoot, even though Bruce Arena has sort of, you know, laughed in the face of that. But this is supposed to be hard to predict. It's supposed to give every team an equal chance to win the championship, and that's what MLS wants. So sitting here a few months out and trying to figure out how it's going to go is really tough. But yeah, there's some good teams in the league. You know, Dallas, Vancouver, Columbus, New England, the Red Bulls are doing great. You know, there's some good teams out there, and I suppose we say every year that any of them can beat LA over 180 or 90 minutes, but you know, it only in the past 4 years it's only happened one time.
Yeah, I'm still going to pick LA to win the whole thing.
The real question is, editor, should we book our flights to Carson now or wait?
Well, we got to see how this...
Flights to Carson. Carson does not have an airport. Flights to LA, forgive me.
that remains to be seen. Supporters Shield race actually might be more riveting actually down the stretch. You look at the standings right now, Sporting Kansas City, they've got the games in hand on LA. They're actually in position to... If they can make good on those to take that thing, which would be a pretty nice accomplishment for them, especially after moving from the East to the West.
Based on points per game, the best team in MLS is the New York Red Bulls.
And then there's that.
So who expected that when fans were erecting billboards and coming to Red Bull Arena with pitchforks and torches?
Ali Curtis.
Ali Curtis at Death Mark on an island. Yes, they believe.
So anyway, plenty to watch for in MLS. With SeatGeek's new app, it's easy to find a great deal, pay for tickets, and get to your seat with a few taps of your phone. And for listeners of this show, use the promo code FOOTBALL, FUTBOL, in the SeatGeek app and get a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. It takes less than a minute to download, and the app is free in iPhone and Google Play stores. SeatGeek does a ton of things that other ticketing sites don't, such as aggregating from big ticket sites. Just like you can consolidate flight and hotel options online, SeatGeek pulls in ticket options from hundreds of online ticket sellers to create a one-stop shop for sports and concert tickets. When you shop on SeatGeek, you're seeing virtually every ticket option available for that game all on one page. No need to go anywhere else. Also, they have this great feature called Deal Score. It ranks every ticket on the market with a 1 to 100 value score and plots the best deals on a color-coded interactive map of the venue so you can easily identify the best ticket values in the building at a glance. Finally, SeatGeek's mobile app makes the ticket buying process seamless, easy, and reliable. If you decide to catch a game with your friends at the last minute, don't subject yourself to sketchy scalpers or fake tickets. On SeatGeek, you can store your credit card, and once you find a ticket you want to buy, you can complete the purchase with just two quick taps. There's no faster way to buy tickets. To redeem your promo code and save $20 on tickets, download the free SeatGeek app today and enter promo code FOOTBALL, FUTBOL, in the app. SeatGeek will then send you $20 once you've made your first SeatGeek purchase. This is a sneaky good deal. Let's say you want to go see the Chicago Fire take on the Red Bulls next week. You can get a lower deck ticket for $20 right now. With the $20 rebate, your ticket is free, courtesy of SeatGeek, just for letting them open the door for you. Find the best deals on world football, NFL preseason, and concert tickets, too, all on SeatGeek. Don't forget to claim your $20 rebate off your first ticket purchase by downloading the SeatGeek app and entering the promo code FOOTBALL. I want to go over the pond a little bit to get into the English Premier League a couple weeks into the season now. Just like we thought, Chelsea has been a disaster, or not. Their struggles, Manchester City's success to start after some questions about that team entering the season. It's been interesting. We had the opportunity to have Kyle Martino from NBC in our SI Now studios for an interview with Maggie Gray, and he got into all of his early reactions on all things EPL. So here is a clip from that.
Defending champion Chelsea, though, they are legitimately struggling. Why have they been so slow out of the gate?
Yeah, I would say we can't have the Premier League without overreactions.
Why not?
And that's the major one is Chelsea right now. And, you know, you go back to Jose Mourinho's only had two times where he's made it to the third season with a club, Real Madrid and then the first time with Chelsea. And his last season tends to collapse in this monumental, epic way. And so a lot of people are thinking this is foreshadowing the inevitable, that a third season Jose Mourinho collapse. But I think that's a little knee-jerky. I think what's happening with Chelsea is they came back a little bit later. It gave them more time off. But also, to repeat champions is the most difficult thing ever. Only two clubs have been able to do it. And Jose Mourinho's standards are so incredibly high that, of course, you're going to see a little dip after winning the title. And I think he's furious about it.
Yeah, well, in order for this not to turn into a dumpster fire for Chelsea, does Mourinho have to get out of his own way a little bit? We saw a story about the female athletic trainer who he suspended for a game, also substituting John Terry earlier.
Yeah.
He's kind of is he creating some distractions for his team?
Well, he always creates distractions, but he's a master of creating distractions away from bad performances so people don't talk about how his team's playing poorly. But this is a distraction that for me is a huge mistake. The doctor thing is ridiculous, unfounded. They were just doing their job. They did their job well. And that was a distraction, I'm sure, that's in the locker room right now. And people are saying, this is our physio, someone we have a really strong relationship with who's not on the bench now. The John Terry thing, he has never substituted John Terry before. He took his captain off at halftime. Now, he's going to say, tactically, he's slow. Well, he's been slow for a decade. It didn't just happen in the offseason. But now everyone's going to say, that was our leader last year. John Terry had the best season he's ever had for Chelsea, won the title, and he took the guy off at halftime?
Yeah, and also, you know this. I mean, being a player, now teammates are going to get asked about this from now, and it could be a storyline that hangs over Chelsea. Let's move on to Man City, because this is a team that's always flush with a lot of cash, always got a lot of stars. Are they championship caliber?
Yeah, definitely. I think that we were just talking about with Chelsea, where it's hard to repeat. You know, I think they struggled and had a dip because they win the title, and then you have the World Cup, which is a little bit of a distraction. You have the African Cup of Nations that some of their star players left for. The reason I think that they're contenders, David Silva is the best player in the league for me. He's so incredible to watch. He's going to have a magical season for them again, but it's Kompany, it's the spine of them that struggled last year, Kompany and Torre. That's where they needed to improve, and those players so far this season are showing that they're going to play like they did two seasons ago.
Yeah, very interesting. A big match coming up this week, week three. Liverpool, who's 2-0, playing against Arsenal, who was destroyed in their first game, kind of rebounded in the second game. What are you expecting when they meet in week three?
Well, Liverpool, I think everyone's expecting them to be different with Benteke. Everyone knows that they've tried to replace Luis Suarez and failed, obviously, with Balotelli, and you're never going to be able to replace Luis Suarez. I mean, he is a one-of-a-kind. There's a handful of players around the world, and by the way, Arsenal, Chelsea, Manchester United, all of them are trying to buy that type of player and still can't. Benteke, if he can get them 20 goals this year, I think that they start to nip and get close to that top four, and being able to beat a team like Arsenal has to be what they want to do if they want to be able to climb and get into those top four positions.
We're all anxiously awaiting that game, early matchup between these star-studded teams.
So there you have it. The full clip of that interview can be seen on Planet Football. Definitely check it out. It was great to have Kyle in the studio. He's also got a new show
everywhere.
On. He is everywhere. He literally is. He's got a show on the Travel Channel now.
Of all media.
He's a pretty cool post-playing career. But anyway, check that interview out. And I think that will do it for us today. Again, really appreciate AJ De La Garza for joining us. Brian Strauss, welcome back from vacation. And next week, we will have Grant Wall back from vacation. The whole crew will be back together, guys.
When Brad Friedel replaced me, I thought I was going to be like a Gehrig thing, you know, like I was going to be the guy Gehrig replaced and you'd never hear from me again.
We considered it.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you. I'm not saying that's a bad thing at all. It's just that popped in my head.
Never. We would never do that. So we'll have the full crew back together. Alex Abnos, thank you, our star producer. Appreciate everything on your end. Thanks, as always, for listening, and we will talk to you all next week.
Do you know about the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one daily sports podcast network? Locked On has a daily podcast on every NBA and NFL team, plus a growing lineup of college and MLB teams. You get a daily bite-sized podcast giving you the latest on your team from the local experts. Lakers fans, search Locked On Lakers. Cowboys fans, search Locked On Cowboys. Just search Locked On, your favorite team, on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On, your favorite team. Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.